welcome back. This is Ryan Horn from Specs by Ryan. This is the Shady Business Podcast. And today, I've got a very special guest. We have Matthew Barton of Rebellion Brewery. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
How's it going today?
It's deadly.
Yeah. You're looking pretty good, though. You got some new specs?
That's right. Just last week.
Really? What happened? Where'd you get them?
You guys, straight from Specs by Ryan. Right, it was on. Something that I'd been thinking about for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And when I finally bit the bullet, you know, I'd talk to you and I'd talk to another guy, Shay Rucker.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just been a huge champion for you guys with me.
Right.
And he's like, you got to give Ryan a chance. Mm-hmm. And when I first thought about it, I was like, it's just glasses. But then I started to realize you're not just glasses. You think about glasses the way I think about craft beer. And you take it to the next level. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is something different. And I like that. That's neat. I want to support that.
Thank you. That's exactly how I think of it. And that's a bit how we kind of got introduced and together. I was fortunate enough to be invited to your podcast a while back, last year. And I thought, what a cool thing to do is to combine craft eyewear and craft beer. And we both do really cool things that people might not normally consider because it sounds fancy or extra. But yeah, it was pretty cool.
My earliest recollection of you guys is the billboard when I'm driving down Albert.
Uh-huh.
That it just pops and just grabs your attention. But the second piece was when we were collaborating with the fashion show.
Right.
And that's kind of how you came into my consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was again Shay just kind of giving me that nudge.
Right. We had that mutual friend that just loves Rebellion and loves Specs, and it's been kind of great ever since to really get to know each other. And I know I'm a big supporter of buying Rebellion beer anywhere I go at any restaurant or pub. We do have a kegerator here in the Chill Lounge studio, and it is always full of Rebellion beer. And once again, we have Rebellion Amber, which is delicious and just beautiful, for this time of year.
Thanks, man. You're putting my kids through college.
Likewise. That's so good. So you're wearing Jacques Marie-Mage, one of my absolute favorite collections. It's handcrafted in Japan, like we talked about. And I was just really proud of how this one, I feel, brought you to more of your eyewear potential for your look. And so I'm very proud of it. I just want to let you know that. That's we really care about what leaves the store and what gets up on people's faces. So how has the experience been for you since you've got them?
It's been unusual for me, mm-hmm. because for me, glasses were always an afterthought. Mm-hmm. And I always wanted something that was light and inoffensive and just something that I put on my face.
Right.
I never thought about it twice, mm-hmm. especially when I was just going through to purchase it.
Right.
But that's how I think about most of my clothing consumption. If it has no brand names on it, I'm fine with that.
Right.
Blue jeans, hoodie, t-shirt, that's kind of what I do.
Right.
And when I saw these, and I was trying on about 25 different pairs, mm-hmm. I took a picture of them and sent it to my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, no, no, no. And then I send her these, and she goes, only those, nothing
wow.
else.
Yeah.
And her opinion is the one that matters most, because she's got to look at my stupid, ugly face.
You know? Absolutely.
And one of the things that also I thought was neat was, you said they were handcrafted in Japan, and they kind of riffed on the 1950s James Dean kind of vibe.
Absolutely.
I don't understand that. Where does that come from?
Well, the designer, Jerome, from Jacques Marie-Mage, is he is so influenced by history and the past styles and fashions and old movies and that kind of thing. So I really have gotten to know him a little bit better the last couple of years, and it's always fascinating talking to him. So, you know, fashion is always comes around over and over again, right? But there's something about classics which are constant, and you can just always rely on classics. So I would describe his collection as a lot of styles we've all seen before. They all look familiar, but they're just amped up. Like they're just something extra rich and special about them. That from across a room, you could tell those are beautiful glasses. They don't have to be crazy and wild with all sorts of you know, dipsy doodles or whatever, right? Or fancy this or that. They're just rich, and to every little speck of detail you notice and you feel. They feel substantial, don't they?
They are very present on my face.
Right.
My previous glasses, they're kind of featherweight.
Right.
These things, I'm wearing them all day long, and I'm very aware of them still.
Right.
I haven't trained my brain to forget to see them yet.
Yeah, yeah.
You know how you always, you pointed out to people, you can always see your nose.
Yes.
And then your brain forgets it's there. I'm still in that transition period where yeah. I'm used to the new prescription.
Yeah.
I'm not getting a headache.
Yeah.
But the lenses, I'm still very conscious of their yes. physical presence.
You know the ring around, like basically the frame
yeah.
is there. Yeah.
But
yeah.
it's slowly yeah. fading away. When I'm hyper-focused on a book or I'm right. watching a show, then it's no longer there. But when we're talking about it,
mm-hmm.
it's like talking about your tongue. You have an increased chance of biting your tongue because you're absolutely. Conscious of it.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
yeah.
Here we go.
One of the other striking mm-hmm. things was I've never gotten so much positive feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not the kind of guy who's... I'm not vainglorious.
Right.
I'm a chubby guy in beer with a beard. I don't stand out.
Yeah.
And when it comes to these, people were stopping me and saying, where did you get those?
Oh, wow.
So mm-hmm. then I get to tell the story of, I went to Specs and mm-hmm. I talked to Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
And his guys sat down with me and really gave me interesting feedback that I'd never thought about before.
Mm-hmm.
Shape of face, color, matching the beard.
Yeah.
How do I usually wear them?
Mm-hmm.
That's never happened before. And then yesterday, it was funny, I'm at a coffee shop and a guy goes, you went to Specs.
That's what we go for.
yeah. And he goes... He points to his glasses. He goes, these are like number 101 of a collection of 500.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't remember what number these were. I'm like, yeah, these are number 2, I think.
Yeah, yeah. It's, limited edition. That's right.
Funny moment.
People dig on that. I think it's really cool how they, you know, people can identify that they have a very limited edition piece on their face that that is special. And there's definitely people out there that are starting to collect them, like especially people in our industry are starting to hoard them in a way because they're hard to get and they might be increase in value at some point. So yeah.
You guys remind me of sneakerheads.
Mm-hmm.
You're just, you haven't crossed that threshold yet into pop, right. The pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
I first became of sneakerheads, became aware of them through, it was a show about these guys in Hollywood and everything just goes great for them. Vincent is the main character.
Okay.
Turtle is one of the characters and he collects shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And he's hardcore and he gets like a $50,000 pair of shoes or something stupid like that.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, this is what they're kind of following, that feeling of yeah. that exclusivity. You mm-hmm. got one of
right.
the lenses or of the shoes.
Absolutely. Yeah. People, like, I find people will then tend to follow the brand and consider it again when they come back again, see what's new in that brand. But one of my favorite ways to describe the Jacques Marie-Mage brand would be if Quentin Tarantino had an eyewear playlist, it would just be Jacques Marie-Mage. It's just every time I look at them, I just feel like I'm listening to a, you know, some sort of Quentin Tarantino movie soundtrack or you know, watching a movie. It's just, you know, that's just something I think is so cool and you know, like it just adds a different element of style and of sophistication and that kind of thing. So yeah,
it's strange, man. I feel like I'm gonna have a hard time getting my head through doorways.
Yeah, look out. Well, again, going back to the beer thing, which again I just found super fascinating when we did our first podcast, and by the way, that thank you for having me, because it has really inspired me to connect with my audience in this format as well. And I thought, you know, when we had such, you know, different industries yet similar concepts, where, you know, when somebody has a choice at you know, a restaurant, drinking establishment or liquor store to pick up that domestic beer versus the handcrafted beer that's a little bit more, you know, once people start to do that and make that choice, it's hard to go back when you just are so used to something that just has so much more fulfilling and rich and makes you happy. Same thing for us, right? Like, but it's something I just found was so fascinating that we have such a similar yet different kind of outlook on our industries.
We always say we want to work with people who want to work with us.
Right.
And when I talked to you that first time, I was like, this guy gets it. He shares the same values as us. And that's why I wasn't sad to bring you on again on the show, because I was like, this guy we can talk with, and we're running the same race.
Yeah,
we're not fighting against each other or trying to cut each other down. We're trying to attract the same kind of thinking people.
Right. And you challenge people, obviously. That's what I love about what I do with Specs, is I feel like I'm constantly wanting to challenge people to think bigger, to think differently, to think more big city. And I think that's what you guys are doing as well with your whole punk rock scene and you know, rebellious attitude. And that's exactly what Specs is. Our first billboard, you know, shocked people. It wasn't a billboard that is supposed to be in Regina, you know? Yet at the same time, there's nothing wrong with it or anything, but just we're not used to seeing anything a little bit risque or challenging. And the way you guys present your marketing and your attitude and your vibe, it's completely like what we do at Specs.
It's going to be hard to get my head through the door after this podcast.
Oh, man. So it's just so enjoyable to find somebody else that has the same kind of values and such as well. So it's
thanks, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the reasons we started the podcast was we knew we had a very hyper-engaged audience that isn't being served by this type of format.
Right.
You know, when you're doing your laundry or you're washing your floors, you have this opportunity to engage in a really deep, rich exchange of ideas. And for us, that was educating people about beer. But we also say it's not just about beer, it's about building community.
Right.
So we bring a lot of people in from the community, specifically chefs, people in food and people in beer.
Right.
But also in... when we identify people who do share our values, we bring them in too.
Right.
And that's how you came on.
Right. Oh, that's great. I feel like we're going to be doing some similar things. So I hate to say I want to copy you guys, but I do look up to you guys in that regard. And I do also, you know, want to present, you know, industry people as well in my industry, and also people from outside industries that same thing, that follow the same values as us and, you know, can give people of Regina a new perspective on maybe not glasses or beer, but something similar that they should know about, that it could change their lives and make them happy like your beer does and like Specs do, right? And so it's cool to maybe introduce Reginans to that, and maybe anyone from Saskatchewan who listens to the podcast worldwide, you know, into some cool new things, and keep it quick and short, and, you know, keep people interested, right? So
one of the other ideas I kind of have been circling around the last few months is, have you ever read the book Brave New World?
If it's a book, no, I have not read it.
It's Aldous Huxley.
Okay.
And it was his response to 1984 by George Orwell.
Okay.
In a nutshell, Orwell said, we're going to have a TV in a room, and it monitors us, and it tells us what to think, and it regulates us, and if we step out of line, punishment, brainwashing, regulation. Huxley went the opposite direction. He said, we're going to overstimulate you so much, you're not going to be able to ask questions or think critically. And one of the themes in Brave New World is overconsumption and mindless, thoughtless consumption. People are programmed to just purchase whatever for the sake of purchasing.
Right.
And we live in that kind of disposable culture. It felt like Apple came out with the iPhone. You couldn't replace the battery and it was hard to fix, and they just said, you get it for this period of time, you toss it, you buy a new one.
Right.
We're in that unconscious, disposable consumer time. And then I think about these frames. They're handcrafted by an artisan. They're something you keep. You make a very thoughtful, conscious decision to purchase these. It's not something you just wear once and throw away.
Right.
That's better for the environment. That's better for us as humans, because we're not just filling landfills.
Absolutely.
And I keep coming back to those with beer. What does it mean when your crops come from Saskatchewan straight to your glass? Instead of shipping thousands of miles that grain all the way to, you know, the Middle East or where have you in Europe, it's staying right here. We can drive 30 minutes and we're out in a barley field, and in a year's time, you're going to be drinking that.
Oh,
And what does it mean for...
I just love that so much. That is just...
What does that mean for our local economy?
Yeah.
It builds our farmers up.
Yeah.
And instead of that, I think people are being divided on urban-rural lines, but that's not really the case.
Yeah.
We're in an ecosystem and we rely on each other.
Mm-hmm.
And when we make those conscious decisions mm-hmm. on what we purchase, we make better decisions. We buy better things. We live a more fulfilling, better life.
True.
But I could just be talking to my butt.
I love it. I really, that's amazing. I love the fact that, we are drinking Rebellion beer with ingredients that are coming from 30 minutes away, and
every single lentil we grow
or
we brew with is grown right here in Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
It was developed at the U of S
mm-hmm.
by scientists there.
Mm-hmm.
Super smart guys. Those crop researchers, they're not screwing around.
Mm-hmm.
They're figuring out drones to spray the fields.
Yeah.
That's science and physics and GPS rocketry. They're putting satellites up into space to help our farmers grow a more accurate, better crop that requires less spraying. So we're getting a product that has less chemical on it that's healthier for us to drink.
Yeah.
A lot of people will say, well, I can't drink certain wines because it's got sulfites.
Uh-huh.
It plugs me up, stuffs me up. I can't drink certain beers.
Mm-hmm.
It gives me a bad stomachache or a mm-hmm. rotten hangover. But when you drink real craft beer, unadulterated without any preservatives,
mm-hmm.
you still feel good the next day. You've been satiated instead of slugging back 24 and still wanting more.
Yeah.
You're like, this was a satisfying experience after two pints.
Right.
And that's the point. It's not about overconsumption, meaningful consumption.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
That makes very much, a lot of sense. Absolutely. Yeah, it's a lot more efficient and enjoyable. Like I said, you can there's choices everyone can make every day, and it's nice that we have such a great local brewery in town to make things for us. And where are you distributing these days? What's the
just Saskatchewan?
Just Saskatchewan.
So over mm-hmm. 230 locations across the province,
mm-hmm.
Private liquor stores, pubs, restaurants, and small retailers like Sobeys and Co-op and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But the very first place to bring us on, the very first location mm-hmm. was Beer Brothers in downtown Regina.
Ah, cool.
They took a real huge chance on us.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have to.
Right.
And they just said, you know what, we'll try you guys out. And they brought on a keg of Belgian wheat. Mm. We don't even produce that beer anymore. Mm-hmm. It was our very first beer. And it sold out in like a day and a half. They're like, well, we need two more kegs. And we're like, okay, great.
So was there a conscious decision to start with that particular brew? Is it just like an easier one that will satisfy most people first? Or what was the strategy with that?
We always knew we wanted to have a core lineup of five products showcasing a range of styles. It was not just, we want you to love everything, but we want you to find the one beer to love.
Okay.
And that Belgian wheat was that kind introduction. Everybody mm-hmm. assumed that when we opened our doors, it was about melting your face with an IPA.
Mm-hmm.
We have that. We have the hoppiest.
Yes, you do. Yeah.
We have the hoppiest IPA in the province. We know because we sat down with the other brewers and we were comparing hop bill and grain bill. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, yeah, we got a hoppy IPA that's four times more hoppy than the next guy. But that Belgian wheat was that nice kiss on the lips.
Right.
A little bit of a Belgian spice note to it. Citrus. And it was just a wonderful beer.
So going back to the IPA trend, or is it a trend, or what's happening with that? It just seems like I'm seeing it more and more and more and hearing about it more. Even I'm really adapting to it more and more as well. So what's happening with that scene?
IPAs are not a trend.
Okay.
They are a feature. Maybe they started out as a subculture,
mm-hmm.
but without IPA, there'd be no craft beer industry.
Mm-hmm.
IPAs are that signature. You better do an IPA very well, or mm-hmm. you're not going to be respected by the craft drinking community.
Mm-hmm.
They want that.
No pressure.
Yeah. You got to bring your A game. Mm-hmm. If all you did was light beers and you didn't have a proper IPA, people would wonder what the heck is wrong with you.
Hmm. Interesting. Wow. So much to know about in the world of IPA and beers. Do you ever get people that are just like, no, I need more, like even though you do have the strongest one, or there's still people going, you can still go. So there's obviously people who, are hop heads, right? And is there ever a time where there might be like, we need more, even more than what you already have, which is more than anybody else has. They sure. want hoppier yet.
Oh, for sure.
Like, give me a fork. I need...
There are guys out there, well, and women, who will want more and more. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to hops, there's a common misconception. There's a difference between hops, mm-hmm. hoppiness, mm-hmm. and bitterness.
Okay.
Some people want that harsh, bracing bitterness, but hops can also be soft and floral, juicy or dank, earthy and piney. It depends mm-hmm. on when you add them into the brew process
sure.
and what varietal you get. Just like grapes, mm-hmm. depending on where they're grown, you're going to get something different. Mm-hmm. So if you're in the mountains, highly acidic soil, you're going to get a very different hop than if you're growing, say, something in Saskatchewan near Mooseman, you know, JGL right. Shepherd Farms, local guys growing hops here in Saskatchewan. Mm-hmm. Their quality of hops is world class. We walked through those hop fields and they were amazing. You roll them in your hands and mm-hmm. you smell it.
Really?
And that oil, just sticky. And Mark, he's like, sight unseen, I'll take it all mm-hmm. and let's rush it back to Regina and brew a beer with it.
Wow.
Yeah. We raced down the highway to get those fresh, unprocessed hops into the batch.
How much time do you have, really, when you get the fresh hops to really work with them before it starts to affect the quality?
Well, I'm talking about a wet hop style.
Okay.
That wet hop process, you've got less than 24 hours.
Wow.
You really need to move quick. 8 hours for peak freshness.
Sounds like there should be a reality show about this and like all the drama and like, oh my gosh, we got a flat tire, we got, you know, we're losing time.
We did have a little bit of drama.
Did you?
They had the machine was getting clogged up mm-hmm. and jammed, and we're kind of like watching our watches on our wrists, and mm-hmm. we're like, man, we need to get going. Mm-hmm. We need these hops in the tank. And
yep.
Dave's back at the brewery, he's like, I'm ready to go when you guys are. And we're like, well, we're waiting for the mechanic to come to get the machine right. fired up to pick the hops.
Wow, like the surgeon was ready. You get to bring, you know, the transplanted organs in good condition.
That's exactly how it was. People don't realize that wet hop beer is something super unique, rare. Mm-hmm. Like we've only done one or two in the past. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't happen in Saskatchewan because we don't have enough hop growing capacity.
Right.
Well, we didn't. In the last 5 years, just mm-hmm. didn't exist. So you only got it in like Yakima, Washington, mm. or the prime hop growing regions that could ship same day those mm-hmm. hops. So we're really on the cutting edge, the forefront of exploring those big, hoppy, rich flavors.
Wow.
As soon as you dry hops, I guess I should give some people context. Mm-hmm. When you dry hops, you're losing flavor, you're losing aroma and quality.
Okay.
The more you handle and touch them, mm-hmm. the more you lose. So you want to be very quick when it comes to packaging them. And one of our differences for Rebellion is we use whole cone hops. Mm-hmm. We don't use pelletized like hamster hops all the time. Okay. You ever see hamster food that looks like pellets?
Oh, really?
That's what a lot of processed hops look like.
Okay.
But ours, we use whole cone. And we do pay a little bit more mm-hmm. on the front end to get those ingredients, but we believe that's the difference mm-hmm. between an IPA and an IPA.
Wow. Yeah. It's just so fascinating. Like, I had no idea about all that kind of stuff, and that it's all done right here locally in Regina, in Saskatchewan, and using, you know, Saskatchewan hops. And, you know, again, you just got to think about every sip you take of that IPA, what went into it, you know, and why this is why it's so robust and full, you know, like it and rich. It's so fascinating, and to hear about how it's not just you're brewing beer, because we see breweries pop up all the time. I think we've got a really cool scene going on in Regina and Saskatchewan in general. But to hear about how it actually happens more than just, oh, we're just going to make beer. No, you're going through to great lengths to produce amazing handcrafted beer.
We're not screwing around.
No, and that's so good.
For clarity, mm-hmm. a lot of our hops still come from Yakima, Washington, mm-hmm. but we've had some from Germany and BC, New Zealand.
Right.
You get those specialty orders in.
Right.
But now, because we can build that local capacity, mm-hmm. we can support local farmers and keep those dollars in the province and build that local industry, mm-hmm. we're reinventing how beer could and should be in our province.
Wow.
We have the best crops in the world. why are we not turning it into craft beer that kicks ass right
absolutely.
Here? Why send it away? That doesn't make sense.
It yeah, absolutely. I love it. That's amazing. Well, that's amazing. Thank you so much for joining me today and to tell us about how, you know, beer works a little bit and the scene and of the Rebellion Brewery vibe and all that kind of stuff. So
I appreciate it. Thank
it's,
you.
It's been so good. So where can people find your podcast?
Rebellion Brewing Podcast. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, just hop on Anchor, Google, Spotify. Yep. We're on like 12 different platforms. Cool. Just look for Rebellion Brewing Podcast. You'll find us.
And you'll find it. So once again, thank you very much for joining us. And looking good in those specs, man.
Thanks.
Okay. Have a good one.